Now, we're holding on Samach Dalad, Omid Beis, five lines from the bottom, the first line, the wide lines. We moved yesterday. The Mishnah had told us that there was a time when they had to bring the grain for the Korban Omer and the Shtei Lechem from relatively far away from Yerushalayim, because there had been a civil war and all the fields had been destroyed, etc. So we said that that a mute person came both times to give them a signal where they can find the grain, and both times Mordechai gave them the answer what the guy is referring to. As we learned yesterday, Rashi says it means the actual Mordechai from the times of Achashverosh. He's still alive now, a couple hundred years later. Tosfos wonders that it's a little hard to understand how he would have lived that long. Rabbi Yaakov Emden says, big deal. We often find that Tzaddikim have exceptionally long lives. Nevertheless, Tosfos says another reason would be that this was not the original Mordechai from the time of Esther and Achashverosh, but rather his successor. That will be anyone who succeeded him in that job, as the Gemara is going to say soon, there was an official job in the Beis Mikdash, Sakhi Alakinim, then they would nickname Mordechai, because he was as wise and as knowledgeable in languages, as the Gemara is going to say soon, as the original one. In fact, there is an explanation along those lines. The Mishnah in Shkolim lists the names of 15 officials that were in the Beis Mikdash. By the way, Rabbi Yaakov Emden points out in this connection, you see these officials didn't have to be Kohenim and Levim specifically, because you see, for example, Mordechai from Shevet Binyamin was one of them. Anyway, the Mishnah in Shkolim mentions 15 such officials, the Tosefta there mentions a few other ones, and the idea, and then the Gemara says over there, the Yerushalmi says over there, well, why list the name?
Yeah.
In all the 420 years of the second Beis Mikdash, there must have been many holders of each office. And so the Yerushalmi brings there two opinions, either that the Tana listed the ones that were in his times, or that the list is for each position, the most worthy person to hold that position. So there is, in fact, an explanation that kind of combines the two of them. What they would do is so let's say, for example, this position of Alakin, the original person who held it was Mordechai, who, as we're going to quote soon from the Mishnah, was also known as Psachi. So now, when he passed away, and then they had to look for a new candidate who also has the same qualities, once they appointed him to the position, his official name in the position became Psachia / Mordechai. His real name might have been something else, but that would be his official name as far as the job, and the same thing with each of the other ones. So in that case, it's both then. The Tana can be listing the ones in his times, and it's also the Kshedim Becholder Vader, because within each one, within each position, there was one person throughout all those 420 years, who was the best in that position and bore that name. Okay, so now the Gemara is going to go on to mention some other examples of how Mordechai / Psachia was able to explain obscure things which nobody else was understanding. Now we're going to say the Gemara is going to say soon that he was in charge of Alakinim, that he was in charge of the Kinim and the Beis Mikdash. Namely, they had a number of collection boxes, pushkas, basically, in the Beis Mikdash. They called them shofaris because they were shaped like a shofar, narrow on top and wide on bottom, so people can't take money out of them without being noticed. One of them was labeled Kinim, and the idea was a person who has to bring a pair of birds as a korban, then often they would put money in there. Instead of bringing the birds themselves, they would put money in there, and the Beis Din would be responsible, and then the person, Alakinim, and his staff would be responsible for making sure that birds are brought and offered for a korban for this person. But there can be a lot of mix-ups in the Kinim, and as we're going to see also here, there can be many times people would be coming saying they need to bring a korban and not make it clear what the purpose of the korban was. You needed somebody very sagacious and very able to understand obscure things and be able to. You have Masechta Kinim is actually one of the most complicated. It's a short Masechta, but it's very, very complicated because you have all kinds of cases where birds get mixed up and what the resulting dinim are, and you needed somebody who's able to cut through all of that. So the Gemara says, Hanu Sholosh Noshim. Now, one very common case, of course, where people have to bring birds as a korban is when a woman gives birth and also when a woman becomes a zava. So many times you have women coming to the Beis Mikdash with their birds or with their money, and it wouldn't be so clear what they want. So the Gemara says, Hanu Sholosh Noshim. One time it happened, three women, the Aisu Sholosh Kinim, and each of them brought a cane, a pair of birds for a korban. One of them said, it's for my ziva. The obvious understanding would be, in other words, if she had been a zava, and now is bringing the korban as a result of that. Another one says that I'm bringing my korban for yamosi, which on the face of it, as the Gemara is going to say, it means from the word yam, a sea, as in like she had a huge flow of blood like a sea. And the third one said, I'm bringing a korban for onosi, which sounds like it means my appointed time. So from the other chachamim thought the kohenim, and the other chachamim thought that she meant zivosi in zava mamish. The word zivosi means that she had been a zava, in which case then her korban of two birds would be one chatas and one oila, provided that she was a zava gdola, which is where she had the flow of blood outside of the time of outside the expected time of her nidus, and she had it for 3 days or more. Anyway, so they thought that it meant that she was a zava, and therefore the two korbanos are going to be one chatas and one oila. Liyamosi, when she said, the one who said that I'm bringing for Yamosi, which literally means my seed, they thought it meant Liyamosi Mamish, that it means actually for my seed. And she was saying, I bled so much, it was as much as a seed. And therefore, that would also mean that she was a Zava. Rabbi Negeshim says differently. He says, Yamoshi can mean for my yomim, for my days. I finished my days of Zira, I finished my seven clean days, and now I'm ready to bring my korban. And they thought, lo'inosi means lo'inosa mamish. The one who said lo'inosi means for her time, meaning that the time has come for me to bring my korban on the eighth day after, on the eighth day after my seven clean days of Zivus. So to call it choda chatas for choda oila, it would come out then, if that was the correct understanding, that each of these women is supposed to be bringing one chatas and one oila. But Amalehu Mordechai, said to them, again, maybe the original Mordechai, maybe his successor who bore the same name, not necessarily. Shema b'zoyiv sikna. The first one who said l'zivasi, she doesn't necessarily mean that she's bringing the korban for the ziva. Maybe it just means that she bled so much from her ziva that she felt she was in danger of dying. And now she's bringing a korban to thank Hashem that her life was saved. In which case, then it's not the required korban for her zivus. Then this would be a voluntary korban that she's bringing to thank Hashem for her good health. And in that case, it would be both oilas, because you're bringing a chatas as an adava. Similarly, he said, the one liyam mosi, maybe she meant shemem v'yam sikna, maybe she was in danger of drowning in the sea, in the ocean. And that's also a carbon, and that's also a carbon of an adava. And the third one, l'oinosi, does she mean oina as in a time? Maybe she meant shemem v'ena sikna, maybe she was in danger, she had an eye infection, and then her life was in danger from it, and then she was cured. Dekulu oilus, meaning in which case all three of these women, all six birds that they're bringing, are all for oilus. Baduk, so they checked into it, they asked the women more questions to find out the facts, and sure enough they found that Mordechai was right and all of them are oilus. So therefore this illustrates the idea, in other words, that Mordechai was able to figure out these kinds of obscure things that nobody else was. The Yerushalmi on that mission in Shkodim, where it lists all the officials, also mentions this story. In the case of the Zoiv one, it says slightly differently. The Rishami says over there that Mordechai told them that the word Zoiv may be her way of saying Ze'ev, which means a wolf, which means that a child of hers was in danger of being snatched by a wolf and then was saved by Hashem. And again, she's bringing a korban to thank Hashem for her son's life being saved. Anyway, either way, it turned out that all of them indeed are Olas, and not like they thought one Chatas, one Ola. This is what it means when it says in the Sefer Shkolim, Psachia ala Kinim. Among the officials in the Beis Mikdash, Psachia was in charge of the Kinim. Again, when you have this shofar, which is to say a pushka, in which people would put money for Kinim, then it's his responsibility, his and the staff who work under him, just the primary thing is to see to it that every day all that money is dispersed, that all of that money is used to buy the appropriate korbanos for people. But besides that, we're saying there could be all kinds of mix-ups and obscurities and things like that, and he needs to be able to work those out. Now the Mishnah continues over there. Who is Psachia? Zem Mordechai. This is none other than Mordechai. Again, the original one would have been Mordechai from the Megillah, and according to Rashi, he's still alive several hundred years later, and according to Tosfos, it's his successor. It's his successor who bore the same name. So why was he called Psachia? If his real name is Mordechai, because he was able to open up things, the Dershon, and he was able to douse in them, as in all these cases where he's able to see what the mute person is hinting at and realize the message that he's carrying, and the same thing with these three women, and other examples like that. The Dershon, and he's able to explain them. V'yedeyem, Shir and Lashon, and he knows all 70 languages. So Gemara says, wait, good. What's so special about him then? Hulu Sanhedrin, Nami Yadi, Shir and Lashon. Don't all the members of the Sanhedrin have to know all 70 languages? Now Tosfos points out there is actually a Gemara relevant Gemara in Sanhedrin that seems to say that no, you don't really need to have all of them know all the 70 languages. The Gemara says over there that if you have two people in the Sanhedrin who know all the languages, then that's the minimum. If you have three, then it's even better. Four, there's nothing better than that. So what do you mean? So first Tosfos says, first of all, it could mean when the Gemara says over here that all the Sanhedrin, fine, it doesn't mean all the Sanhedrin, but in other words, Mordechai is not the only member of the Sanhedrin who knows all 70 languages, because there have to be at least two. And then also Tosfos points out a couple of other possibilities. That could be talking about Dinin Mominus, and this is that could be talking about Dinin Mominus, and this is talking about Dinin Nefoshes. And there are, in fact, Tosfos points out, after all, as we learned in the Masechta Sanhedrin, there are a number of situations. Usually you have the Sanhedrin of 71, which is what we're talking about over here. Usually that's the final court of last resort. If no lower based in knew the answer, then they go to the Sanhedrin Gdolah. If the earlier Botiginim were deadlocked on a question, then they go to the Sanhedrin Gdolah. But you have certain cases where the Sanhedrin Gdolah has original jurisdiction, as they call it in legalese, meaning that to begin with, a case has to be brought to them. A Zokin Mamre, a whole Shevet, a Mimini Dachas. So then, in that case, Tosfos says, for that kind of thing, indeed, all of them would have to know all the languages. Where, what do we mean when the Gemara says in Sanhedrin? And only some of them do, would be when they're only a court of last resort, when the lower Batadinim didn't know what to do with the case. Anyway, the point is that there were more members of the Sanhedrin than just Mordechai, who knew all the languages. The Amr of Yechanan, Eimah Shivna Sanhedrin Ela Balei Chochma, to be seated of Sanhedrin, a person has to be Bal Chochma. Doesn't just mean Chochma of Torah, of course. It means that they also have Chochma in practical Chochma, to be able to ferret out the truth, to be able to realize, to understand the facts of the sciences of the natural world, etc. So they have to have that. Bali Mare, they should have a handsome appearance, so people look up to them. Bali Koima, they should be tall, for the same reason. So people should look up to them and would be lying Adim will be afraid to lie to them. Bali Zikna, they should be old. Now, the Gemara mentions in Sanhedrin, they shouldn't be extremely old. You want them to still remember what it was like to have children and that Tzav Gidul Bonim, so they have a Rachmanos, but it means, in other words, they shouldn't be youngish. Bali Kshofim, they also have to be people who are experts in Kishuv. So Rashi explains the reason is, let's say they have somebody they have to execute, and let's say he's a magician, and he knows how to make himself fireproof, then they can counteract his magic, and that way they can kill him however they're able to. So that's one explanation. Tosfos gives a different explanation from Rav Chaim Gaon. Poshut, if you have, if a person who's accused of witchcraft is brought in front of them, they have for a case, they for a trial, they have to know whether what he did was actual witchcraft or just what's called uchaz esainayim, sleight of hand, and pretending like he did magic. As we find in Gemara Sanhedrin, where there is a difference between those, it mentions over there that for example, there was some of the Chachamim who were able to demonstrate how it's done with sleight of hand rather than actual sorcery. So that would be another reason why they have to be Balik Shokin. Anyway, the Yodim Shivim Loshin, they have to know all 70 languages. Again, as Tosfos is discussing over here, does that mean all of them have to? Does it mean only some of them have to? Whatever the case, the reason is Shalote Sanhedrin Shemas V'Piat Turgamon. The reason is because you don't want the Sanhedrin to have to hear through a translator. So Rashi over here says the reason is because a translator may alter the wording, and then he's going to end up saying the wrong thing, and they're going to end up convicting the guy unjustly. Whereas if they're able to hear directly from the Edim, then there'll be a truer verdict. That's what Rashi says over here. Elsewhere, Rashi gives another point as well that. If you, in Sanhedrin, where the Gemara brings this as well, that if they have to hear through a translator, then in effect, it's what they're hearing is hearsay. They're hearing through the translator, who in turn heard from the aid, and you can't do that. You can't do aid mit aid. Anyway, the point is, we see that, okay, so it's Tosfos discussing, is discussing, doesn't mean all of them have to know all the languages, or only some of them, but in any case, the point is that, that we see that Mordechai is not the only one, so why are we singling him out, that he was so great that Yodei B'Shivim Lashon? So the answer is, Ella to have a Bayal Lishni. What was so special about Mordechai is that he was able to mix up languages, even if a person is speaking in a mixture of different languages, Mordechai would be able to understand what he's saying. Behind it, but Mordechai built on it. This is why in Ezra and in Nehemiah, when it lists the leaders of the Jewish people who came from Babel to Eretz Yisrael to rebuild the second Beis Hamikdash, so in the list over there in both places is Mordechai built on it. So we understand. So we understand that Bilshan is short for Bayal Lishni. He was able to mix languages, and which the other members of the Sanhedrin might know, some of them at least might know all the languages, but they wouldn't be able to find. If somebody is speaking Aramaic or Egyptian or Latin or Greek or whatever, they'd be able to understand. But if a person is speaking in half one language and half the other, they might not be able to grasp what he's saying, whereas Mordechai would be able to. As we have the examples before of Gagas Tzifin and Ein Socher, where it's a mixture of languages, and still he was able to Lashon Kodesh and Aramaic, and still he was able to figure out what they're after over here. Marsha points out, on the face of it, why do we have to say that Mordechai Bilshan is the same person, and Bilshan is his title? Maybe it just means there are two people over there, Mordechai and Bilshan. So he explains, considering how important Mordechai was, why is it the end of the list? You have the list over there, Aboimim Zerubbabel, you have a bunch of other names listed over there, and then you have at the end is Mordechai Bilshan. So the idea would be, in other words, that this way it's put at the end, but that way we can have his name and his title, one after the other, and this way it's clear that it's a title rather than another name of a person. Next. The Mishnah says, let's get back to the matter of the actual procedure of the bringing of the Omer. Kate said, hey, Nosin, how would we do? Now that we established that, so the barley for the Omer has to be harvested, and we talked about in the previous Mishnah, how much they harvest, and so far we said you do it both on Shabbos and you do it whether it's Shabbos or weekday, so how does the whole procedure work? Kate said, hey, Nosin. First of all, Shluchei Beis Din Yotzin Me'erev Yomtiv. Before Yomtiv, messengers from Beis Din would go out to the field where the barley is growing. But Oisin, obviously not always. I mean, here where we have where in the previous mission where they had to bring from Gagas Srifin, then the Papashlis, they didn't have a chance to do it in advance, but we're talking under normal circumstances. They would tie the stalks of grain a handful at a time into bundles while they're still attached to the ground. So that will be easy to harvest. On Motzei Yom Tov, this way, in other words, Tiferes Yisrael explains this way, they don't have to make people wait around. So they'd come there, Motzei Yom Tov. They don't do the harvesting on Yom Tov itself, only on the night going into the 16th of Nisan. Keep in mind, of course, in Eretz Yisrael, there's only one day of Yom Tov, so that night is already the first night of Chol HaMoed. So that would be when they're doing the harvesting. They would come to the field and they'd find the stalks already bundled, the stalks while still attached to the ground, already bundled into small bundles. Next, Kol HaYoras HaSmuchas L'Sham, all that the people of all the towns in that area, Miskansas L'Sham, would all gather together over there to watch the barley being harvested. This way also, it would be publicity, as we were talking about yesterday, as we're going to learn today, since the Baitusim, as we're going to learn in the Gemara today, didn't agree that the Omer is brought on Tes Zayin Nissan, so therefore they wanted to make a big publicity of it to demonstrate not like them, and therefore you wanted to have as many people together as possible gathering together. Sassanus points out that, maybe if they were bringing it from a field near Yerushalayim, as they usually would, then maybe they didn't need everybody to gather, because everybody, anyway, you have all the oily regal are going to be available. So maybe we're talking about, in other words, if they brought it from a field that was not quite so close to Yerushalayim. So everybody would gather over there. Kadeshia Nixa, the Asik Gadol, so that when it's harvested, there's a big tumult over there, there's a big to-do, and this way, again, it demonstrates that the Tzedukim are wrong, and we do in fact harvest the Omer on the night going into the 16th of Nisan, and not as they thought always on the night after Shabbos. Next, Kivin Shechicha, once it got dark that night, Oimelahem, then the harvester or harvesters says to them, because as we learned in the first mission of the parak, there were three people who were going to be doing the harvesting. So he calls out to the people, Ba Shemesh, has the sun set, is it nightfall? And he, or they rather, the crowd, says to him, and Shittim HaKubetzah changes all the Omers of our Mishnah to all the Omer responses. Shittim HaKubetzah says it's supposed to be Omrim, they say, meaning all the crowd, all the bystanders answer, Hain, yes. Which, in other words, the point of that is, the point of that question is, in other words, Tiferes Yisrael explains, it shows that this way, saying, we know that we don't do this on Yom Tov. So now we want to make sure Yom Tov is over, and nevertheless, if it comes out Friday night, we're still going to do it despite the fact that it's Shabbos, because again, we're following the opinion, which is the majority opinion, that the harvesting of the Omer is Doicha Shabbos. We're going to learn an opposing opinion at the end of the parak, but right now we're saying like that. So he would ask Bar Shemesh as the sun set, and they say, and they answer Hain, and then he asks again Bar Shemesh Omer Hain. So he asks again, did the sun set? And they answer yes. So as the commissioner is going to go on to say, each thing they would ask and they would answer three times. Next, he would ask Magal, each of them would ask Magalzu, am I supposed to use this sickle to harvest the grain? Oimerhein, and they answer yes. Magalzu, Oimerhein. Then he asks Kupazu, should I use this basket to put the grain in? Oimerhein, and they answer yes. Kupazu, and again he asks, should I use this basket? Hain, Oimer Hain, and they answer yes. And each thing, the Mishnah is only mentioning each thing twice, but in fact, each thing, as we're going to go on in the Mishnah, say each thing was actually asked and answered three times. The Shabbos, if it was on Friday night, Oimer Lahen, he asks another question. Shabbos Zu, on this Shabbos, should I be harvesting this grain despite the fact that it's Shabbos? Oimer Hain, and they would answer yes. Shabbos Zu, Oimer Hain, this Shabbos, yes. Then, after all that back and forth, and again, the idea is to make a big publicity for it. It's also this way, the Chinuch points out, there's also, it makes a more of a simcha, everybody's focusing on it, and then this way they have more of a simcha involved. So then he calls out to them, Echzer, should I harvest the grain? And they tell him yes, and yes, and they tell him harvest. Echzer, should I harvest? And they tell him harvest. Now, with all the other ones, they answered yes. They were saying, hey, this one, they're answering, sir, harvest. So a number of Achronim talk about why the distinction. One of them is that the Kol Remez on Mishnayos, which is a Pirush from the famous Mekubal, Rav Moshe Zakuta, he explains that when he's asking them factual things, has the sun set? Should I use the sickle, etc.? Then the appropriate answer is yes. But he was asking, should I harvest, which is a question of what he should do or not, then the appropriate answer is to tell him yes, harvest. Is to tell him harvest. Tiferes Yisrael makes another point as well. When they say sir, it means start right away. If they just say hey, it means yeah, go ahead and harvest, but it doesn't have to mean necessarily right away. Another interesting point as well on the Furdish named Amtachas Bin Yamin gives an interesting explanation that with all the other ones, you don't want to answer, for example, you have Ba HaShemesh, you don't want to answer back Ba HaShemesh, because then the only difference is the intonation of a question versus an answer, where there, it might not be, when you have a large crowd over there, they might not be able to tell which is the question, which is the answer. But here, where you have different words, he asks, Ekzer, should I harvest? And the answer is, sir, harvest. It's different words, then of course the intonation will be different, but the actual word will be different as well, and therefore they can do that. And the Mishnah says, Shalosh Pam Machol Dover B'Dover. Each of these questions and each of these answers was three times. Now, why did they go to this extreme of doing it like that, with having everybody gather together and asking and answering everything three times? Is because of Baitusim, they said that the harvesting of the Omer is not done on Matzah Yom Tov, they held it's Matzah Shabbos, and therefore we want to demonstrate publicly that we're not doing like them. Let the Baitusim hear, and let them realize, you know what, our notion of when it's supposed to be is flawed and false, and we see that everybody is doing it differently. The Baitosim, as we know, you have the famous thing with the two Talmidim of Antigonus Ishsoichai. He had told his Talmidim, as it says in Pirkei Avos, don't serve Hashem amanas v'kavol pras with the expectation of reward, but rather shaloi amanas v'kavol pras. Two of his Talmidim, Tzadik and Baisus, misinterpreted it, or some say their Talmidim misinterpreted it, whatever, to mean that there is no reward or punishment in Hashemayim, and therefore that then, and from that they created a new, from that they created the sects of the Tzedukim and the Vaitosim, who denied Teresh of Alpeh and then claimed to believe only in Teresh of Chzav. So now we need to know what the actual difference is. They're called Tzedukim and Vaitosim, respectively. After Tzedek and Vaitos, was there an actual difference between the Tzedukim and Vaitosim? It's not so clear. One possibility that I've seen is maybe the Tzedukim were the ones who were more interested in political power, and the Vaitosim would be more like the Frum ones, the ones who actually are serious about their misinterpretations of Torah and their rejection of Torah Shabbat Peh, and therefore they're the ones who would be particularly concerned about this, that according to their way of looking at it, the Omer has to be brought on Matzoi Shabbos, and therefore the Chachamim have to counteract specifically that. So the Gemara says, let's talk about the argument that the Chachamim had with the Baitosim, and where they demonstrated to them that they're wrong, and in fact the Omer is always harvested on Matzoi Yom Tov, on the night after the 15th of Nisan. So the Gemara starts off with, like, quoting from Megillas Tainis. Megillas Tainis is a collection of commemorations of various dates, mostly during the time of the second Beis Hamikdash, when various great things, important things happen for the Jewish people. So all of them are, so all of them, you're not allowed to fast, which is why it's called Megillas Tainis, the days under the Megillah of days on which you're not allowed to fast. And some of them is also, you're not allowed to make a spade on them as well. You're not allowed to eulogize after a person has passed away. So there's different days or groups of days throughout the year commemorating different events. Hanukkah is in there, Purim is in there, and there are a bunch of others. There's a machlokus in the Gemara in the Septa Tainis, whether Megillas Tainis is still in effect. The halacha is, it's not, and all those days we are in fact allowed to fast and make eulogies, except for Hanukkah and Purim, and then there are others where we can't for other reasons. Here we're going to talk about days in Nisan. We can't fast in Nisan, but for other reasons, the Septa Sofrim explains because the Nisim brought their korbanos, and then we have the Korban Pesach and Pesach, but that's a different reason. Anyway, so it starts off, Megillas Tainis starts off. It's called Megillas Tainis, by the way. It's actually the first thing that was allowed to be written down, and that was officially allowed to be written down after Tanakh. It was composed towards the end of the second Beis Hamikdash. And the idea, it's basically a list of commemorative days, so it's not really part of Torah Shabbat Peh per se, so therefore it was allowed to be written down. So Megillas Tainis begins. Irin Yemaya Deloilos Anar Bahoin, on the following list of days, you're not allowed to fast, and some of them, Deloilos Lemisbad Bahoin, you're not allowed to make a spadim on them either. So in other words, some of them are a lesser Yomim Tovim, and you're only disallowed from fasting on them, and others of them are greater Yomim Tovim, and you're not even allowed to make eulogies on them. So the first one on the list, the Mishnah says, the Megillas Tainis says, Meresh Yarcha de Nissen of Tzmanya Bay, from Rosh Chodesh Nissen from Rosh Chodesh Nissen through the eighth of Nissen, Itoitam Tzmida. The Korban Tzmid was established in the proper way. As we're going to say, that the Tzedukim argued against it and had different claims of how it's supposed to be brought. So therefore, so they made a Yom Tov on those 8 days, the Lola Mispad, and therefore you're not allowed to make a spadim on those days. And with Tmanya Bevan, Seif Mayada, then on the other hand, then continues Megillas Tainis, from the 8th of Nisan until the end, until up to and including the end of Pesach, Itos of Chagah Deshuaya, during that time, the Yom Tov of Shavuos was established correctly, again against the Baitosim, Delol Mispad, and therefore you're also not allowed to make eulogies. Different Gilsa, Rashi's Gilsa is Le'isamna, that on those days you're not allowed to fast. So in other words, Rashi explains that the first set of days, the first eight, it was a bigger thing. The Talmud, as the Gemara is going to say, the Beit Tosfos claim to have a proof for their opinion, for their idea of how the Talmud is supposed to be brought. So it was a hard job to convince them otherwise, and therefore the Chacham declared those more major Yomim Tovim that you're not even allowed to eulogize during those 8 days. As far as the rest of it, with Shavuos, they didn't have to begin with, as far as the date of the Korban Omer and the date of Shavuos, they didn't have such a strong proof, so therefore the Chacham said that's only Delol Yisana, you're not allowed to fast on those days, but Hespedim would be allowed. Tosfos points out that in Masechta Tainis, when the Gemara discusses this point, it has the Girsa the other way around. And Tosfos points out that with the context of the Gemara there in Tainis suggests that really is the correct Girsa. So there are different Gusars about, in fact, Tosfos says that they're all Gusars, and both of them is Delol Mispad, which is in fact how we have it in front of us in the Gemara. In any case, what happened during those respective brackets of days? So Meresh Yatav the Nissan Rab Tzman Yibay took him Tmidu to Lola Mispad. So again, let's explain. We said from Rosh Chodesh Nissan through the 8th, the Talmud was established, and therefore the Lola Mispad, we're not allowed to make a spadim. What happened? So Tzdukim Oymim, the Tzdukim, in this case it's the Tzdukim, not the Beit Tosfos, were claiming Yochid Misnadav or maybe Talmud. An individual is able to voluntarily bring a Talmud out of his own resources, whereas the Chacham was saying that no, it has to be brought from the Trumas Alishka, from the Matzah Shekel collection taken from the whole Jewish people. So now, it took 8 days. It took the 8 days from Rosh Chodesh Nissan through the 8th for the Chachamim to prevail over the Tzedukim and have it established once and for all that the Talmud will be brought from public funds, and therefore they declared a Yom Tov in that. One interesting Balabatash Shavara I once saw on this, I think from a Rebbe Miller, I don't remember, is that maybe the Tzedukim, again, if we assume that Tzedukim were the ones who were more interested in political power, well, then they would want that the treasury of the Bais Mikdash is not used for the Korbanos such as the Talmud, and this way they can repurpose it for other projects that they would prefer to. But the Chum were able to prevail and make it that no, the treasury of the Bais Mikdash will be used for what it's supposed to. By the way, the Sfas Emes points out another point as well, according to Rashi's Gusa, that this Yom Tov was the more important one, whereas the one about the Omer and Shavuos is the less important one, and therefore you can make a stadium. So the Sfas Emes points out that with Shavuos it's only one day. The Chacham could manage to hold off the Beit Tosfos and prevent them from doing Shavuos wrongly. But on the other hand, the Talmud is being brought every day. Every day they could find some koyin that they can convince. Every day the Tzedukim could find some koyin to convince that, you know what, today let us bring a Talmud that somebody brought privately, and therefore the fact that the Chachamim were able to prevail over them and prevent that is a much more major victory. Okay. So the Gemara says, my Dorosh, what are the Tzedukim Darshan, what Tzedukim did they use, what Pasuk did they use as a proof for their notion that the Korban Talmud can be brought from private funds? Well, the Pasuk says, as a Kevasa Echad Taseh Baboiker, the one sheep, you, singular, should bring in the morning, and the second one, you, singular, should bring in the afternoon. So therefore, they understood it to mean that a singular person can bring the Korban Talmud and it doesn't need to be a Korban of the Tzibur. Various Svarim talk about the idea that the Tzedukim and the Beit Tosfos in general, if they're not believing in Torah Shabbat Peh, they also don't believe in the unity of the Jewish people, so therefore they don't have the idea that all the Jewish people collectively have to share and bring the Korban Talmud. Their notion was that one person can bring it, and that's good enough. We don't need a whole Jewish people. They were to some extent they were elitists. They held that only we care about the elites, the high-level people, the rich people, or whatever. We don't care about everybody else. So Maya Hadru, what did the Chachamim answer them back? How did they prove them to the contrary? As the Pasuk says, that's Korbani Lachmi Ishai Tishmeru. My Korban, my food for my fire, you, plural, should keep. Which means, Shiokulon, going to Trumas Alishka. So from that we see that all of them have to come from the Trumas Alishka, because it says you, plural, should keep it. That's one way of understanding, and another point is also, since it's saying as korban, Rabbeinu Gershom says another point as well, as korbanim lachmi le'ishai means that the tamid, like all other korbanos, and all other korbanos definitely are brought from the trumas alishka, even the tzedukim had to agree to that, so therefore so the tamidim also have to come from the trumas alishka. But the pasuk is saying, as korbanim lachmi le'ishai, all of my korbanos that are brought for my public korbanos that are brought for the fire, all have to be korbanos tzedukim. Okay, so then it took 8 days for the chachamim to beat the tzedukim on that, and therefore they declared those 8 days a yachter. Next, Mitzmanya Bevad Sof Moreda, then from the 8th of Nisan through the end of Pesach, through the 21st of Nisan, Itos of Chagad Shwaya, during that time, they were able to successfully establish the correct date of the Yom Tov of Shavuos, the Lola Misfad, and the Chachamim said, therefore, that you shouldn't do a spading, or according to Rashi's view, said the Lola Isana, they know the fast. So what happened? What was the story there? Shohi by Tusin, I mean, here was the by Tusin, that is the picture. So they said Atzeres Achara Shabbos. They claim that Shavuos is always the day after Shabbos. Shavuos is always going to be a Sunday, because after all, the pasuk says Mimachar as a Shabbos. Nitpol lahem Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai. So Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai got involved with them. He went to debate with them. But Amalem, and he says to them, Shoitim, you fools, Minayin lachem. From where do you know this? From where do you get this idea that it should be Davka, that the Omer and therefore Shavuos 7 weeks later should Davka be Sunday? Now, Marshall says, what do you mean? Because we say, Mimachar is a Shabbos. The point is, Marshall says, Rabbi Yechon and Zakkai, in effect, is telling them, look, but we all agree that Yom Tov is sometimes also called Shabbos as well. What makes you insist that it means Zavka, the weekly Shabbos, and not Shabbos as in the Yom Tov? You notice, by the way, you know, when you have debates between the Chachamim, even, you know, you have Halolim Matarin, Halolim Matamin, they may be polar opposites of whether what's Tomei, what's Torah, etc. They always speak to one another respectfully. But here, when you're dealing with Tzedukim and Baitusim, then the Chachamim are going to put them down and openly call them Shoitim and say, you don't know what you're talking about. Because when it comes to movements like that, the claim that want to alter the Torah, the Tzedukim and Baitusim in their times, the Koroyim later on, Reform and Conservative nowadays, you don't start showing them any respect or anything. You right away put them down and then make it clear that they don't know what they're talking about. So, now, among the Baitusim, there was nobody at first who was answering him, except for one older Baitusi. Zokin could mean that he was actually old, could mean that he's with their version of a Talmud Chacham, whatever, who was talking against him. Mefakpit really means like talking nonsense. So Rashi says he was talking divrei vikuchim, just argumentatively. Omar, and this Baitusi elder tells Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai, he was the answer. Moshe Rabbeinu oyev Yisrael hoya. Moshe Rabbeinu was an oyev Yisrael. He loved the Jewish people. The Adesha said us Yemechadu. He knew that Shavuos is only one day. So Moshe Rabbeinu set up that Shavuos should always be after Shabbos. Should always be on Sunday. So this way the Jewish people can enjoy 2 days in a row of rest. So fine, Tosfos says that Baitusi is not claiming maybe that Moshe did it all on his own and it didn't become part of the Torah. This Baitusi would claim that Hashem agreed with Moshe's idea. I once saw somebody pointing out, you know, when you get down to it, what that actually means is, you know, nowadays, closer to our times, for example, one of the first things the reformers did when they started is they abolished the second day of Yom Tov, because they claim the whole idea of the second day of Yom Tov is we're in Chutz Laaretz, we're in Golos, and they didn't feel themselves in Golos. They claimed, as the famous expression, Berlin is our new Jerusalem, and therefore we don't need. So here, like, they're doing the opposite of the Baitusim. The Baitusim was saying that we'd rather have more days of Yom Tov, one after the other, and therefore that Moshe deliberately set it up so it'll be a long weekend, and then the reformers do the other way around and abolish the second day of Yom Tov. Anyway, so that was the guy's argument, is that Moshe decided that it should be on Sunday, and this way we'll enjoy 2 days of vacation in a row. All of Mikrozeh. So Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai responded by quoting him the following pasuk. Achados yom mechorev. The pasuk says it's an 11 days journey from Chorev, from Har Sinai, derech Har Seir, by way of Har Seir. And the pasuk says ad Kodesh Barnea until Kodesh Barnea, which means, in other words, that from Har Sinai, when they left Har Sinai to go to Eretz Yisrael, they could have gotten to Kodesh Barnea, which is on the border of Eretz Yisrael, in only 11 days. And yet we know they didn't. They went 40 years in the desert. The im Moshe Rabbeinu Oyev Yisrael Hoya, so says Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai to this Baitosi, if Moshe Rabbeinu was such an Oyev Yisrael as you're claiming, Lama Ichren Ramid Ba'boim Shana, why did you lay the Jewish people 40 years in the desert? Some of those, it actually says the this is not obviously a real answer. This is, but Baitosi is saying something nonsensical. So therefore, Divrei Hevel actually says something worthless and vain. So therefore, Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai answers him in the same kind of thing. Tosfos explains that what Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai is saying something else. You know, the Rashi mentions on the Pasuk, Achad Asiyam Lechorev, at the beginning of Sefer Devarim, that Moshe Rabbeinu was telling the Jewish people, normally it takes 11 days to get from Har Sinai to Kodesh Barnea. Hashem made you be able to travel that distance in only 3 days of travel. Meaning that Hashem really wanted to get you into Eretz Yisrael as fast as possible, but then you did the Chet Meraglim and we were delayed in the desert. So now, Tosfos says, Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai is saying to this Baitosi, well, if Moshe Rabbeinu loved the Jewish people so much, if in that case they went an 11 days journey in only 3 days, by the same token, we see they were capable of going much faster, so why didn't Moshe rush them into Eretz Yisrael on even an accelerated schedule, and instead, on the contrary, he kept them in the desert for 40 years? So you see, it's not a matter of, of course, Moshe loved the Jewish people. That's a fact. But you can't say that therefore things happened because of that. So you can't say that he got them in Eretz Yisrael any faster because of that. And you can't say that the date of Shavuos was decided based on that kind of consideration. So an interesting explanation on this from a Tzadik HaKoyen that says that the Baitusim took the view. That we shouldn't have to make the date of Shavuos dependent on Beis Din and on the like this. We have the Kedusha of Yom Tovim depends on us Jewish people, on our Beis Din declaring the Shchodesh and declaring the date. This is why in Davening we say Mekadesh Yisrael Vazmanim, Yisrael first and then Zmanim, because the Gemara explains to us we Jewish people are made holy by Hashem, and in turn that empowers us to make the Zmanim holy. Now the Baitusim didn't believe in that concept. They said that Shavuos at least should be just that Hashem makes it holy just like Shabbos. It shouldn't be in our hands. So Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai says to Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai, you know why I hold like that? Moshe Rabbeinu, Oyev Yisrael Hoya, because he wanted to remove from us the need to do that hard work. Why should we have to be Mekadesh ourselves and then be Mekadesh Yom Tov? Let it just be bestowed on us by Hashem. So Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai answers him, you know what, you see, it took 40 years of wandering in the desert to get into Eretz Yisrael, because Eretz Yisrael is acquired through Yisurim, and Torah is also acquired through Yisurim. The Gemara in Brachas says there were three good gifts that Hashem gave to the Jewish people, all of them through Yisurim, and among them are Torah and Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, it does mean Yisurim, there does need to be hard work. There does need to be hard work. The third one is Olam Haba. So therefore, no. Fakert, Hashem gave us then the gift of Eretz Yisrael, of Chayrus, of liberty and freedom in Eretz Yisrael, and Simcha and all that corresponding to all these things. But all these things come through Yisurim. We don't just get them handed on a silver platter. We have to work for them. So that's his answer. The same way they had to work and they had to mutrazich in the desert for 40 years in order to acquire Eretz Yisrael, the same way, yes, we have to put in effort and go to the trouble of being Mekadesh the Chodesh in order to have a proper date of Pesach and therefore Shavuos. Okay, but at least on the surface, he's telling him that, look, if Moshe Rabbeinu was such an Oyev Yisrael, then what are you doing taking them in the desert all those years? Omaloi, so this old Baitusi said to Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai, Rebbe, b'kach atapetrani, you're going to fob me off with that kind of argument? That's a silly argument. Omaloi, so Rabbi Yechim answers him, Shoite, you fool, v'loi tei Torah shlema shalonu, k'sicha b'teila shalachem. Our complete Torah is not going to be like your empty, worthless talk. In other words, yes, what you said, your argument, that Moshe Rabbeinu loved the Jewish people and therefore he manipulated the date, is bottle. It's worthless. It's sichem taylor. It's worthless talk. It even Marshall points out it's a degree of apikorsis. It makes it sound like Moshe Rabbeinu invented the Torah himself. Our perfect Torah, says Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai, is not going to be like your worthless talk. Meaning you guys have no real proof for your claim, whereas we actually have a solid proof in the Torah for our claim. So when I said before about Moshe Rabbeinu and the Jewish people in the desert for 40 years, you're right. That's not the real answer. The real answer is Kosev Echad on the Tisbu Chamishim Yom. Here you have one pasuk that says that you count 50 days. Okay, not actually 50, 49. Tosfos points out a few reasons why the Torah says 50, but in any case, the point is that one pasuk says that you count 50 days, and it doesn't mention in terms of weeks. On the other hand, the pasuk also says the previous pasuk says that you should count 7 complete weeks, implying that it has to be 7 calendar weeks. So what is it? Are you counting calendar weeks, or are you counting 49 or 50 days? Okay, so how do you reconcile it? Kan b'yomtov shehalias v'shabbos. The one pasuk is talking about when the first day of Pesach comes out on Shabbos and the second day comes out on Sunday. So then you actually have complete calendar weeks. Kan b'yomtov shehalias v'emtzei Shabbos. Whereas the pasuk about counting 49 days or 50 days without referring to weeks at all is referring to when Pesach is on one of the other days of the week, and you start counting Sfira in the middle, towards Shavuos in the middle of the week. So therefore, that proves that in fact the day of the Omer and the date of Shavuos is not tied to a certain day of the week. It'll be on whatever day of the week it happens to come out on. In fact, there's a medrash also that says along the same line that when do we really have Sheva Shabbos Tzimimus is when Pesach comes out, when the first day Pesach comes out on Shabbos and the first day of the Omer is Sunday. There's a medrash that mentions that then you really have only Yeshua or Shchanya b'neim, only when you have the two Mishmaris, Yeshua and Shchanya, are serving during the Omer. There's a sikha where the Rebbe analyzes that medrash and why the mention of those two Mishmaris. Anyway, the point is, the Yechim and Zakai proved to them with this proof that in fact the date of the Korban HaOmer is always going to be the 16th of Nisan, that depends on the first day of Pesach, rather than, as the Beit Tosfos claim, that it's always Sunday. So now the Gemara is going to bring several other proofs for it. The Rambam, interestingly, brings yet another proof, besides all the ones that we're going to have besides this one of Rabbi Yechim and Zakai and several others that the Tanurim are going to bring. The Rambam brings an interesting one. In Sefer Yoshua, it tells how right after the Jewish people entered Eretz Yisrael, so it says that the day after the Pesach, which is to say the first day after Pesach, they were eating from the grain of Eretz Yisrael. So now says the Rambam, that itself implies, now since the Pasuk tells us, as we're going to learn later in this Torah, you can't eat Chodesh until the Omer is brought, that demonstrates, therefore, that it must be that Taka brought the Omer on the 16th of Nisan, and then they were allowed to eat Chodesh. You're going to say, says the Rambam, that year it so happened to be a Sunday, but then why would the Pasuk tie it to Pesach? Why would it say, rather than saying, Mimachras a Shabbos, or Bayim Rishon, or something like that? So therefore, obviously, it must mean that it was the 16th of Nisan, and the day of the week doesn't matter. So the Gemara gives a simon for the next few explanations that Tanoim are going to bring. Shal Rabbi Eliezer Sofer, Rabbi Eliezer is going to bring a proof from the pasuk that says Tisbor Loch. Rabbi Yeshua Moine, Rabbi Yeshua is going to bring a proof from the expression Minei Yomim, count days. Rabbi Shmuel Ma'amer, Rabbi Shmuel is going to bring a proof from the fact that from the Korban HaOmer. Rabbi Yehuda Lamata, and Rabbi Yehuda is below, meaning that Rabbi Yehuda is going to have an expression that it says something above, meaning earlier in the pasuk, and below, later in the pasuk, and each of them is going to have his proof in that way. Simon, so this is a simon for the following explanations that four Tanoim are going to bring to demonstrate that the Omer, and therefore Shavuos, is on whatever day of the week it comes out, and it's tied to the day of Pesach. So Rabbi Eliezer in its tzarech. Rabbi Eliezer says you don't have to prove it from the seeming contradiction between the two psukim and how to reconcile them, but rather harehu omer. The pasuk says tisfor loch. The pasuk says you should count for yourself. That means, and what's yourself means sfira tzvuya b'beistin. It means that the counting depends on beistin. Shehen yodim lachadish mimachras haShabbos machras yomtim. They know to explain the chiddush that machras haShabbos really means machras yomtim. Really means that the day after Shabbos in the pasuk really means yomtim. But the shittim kubetzah takes that out. It's not really doesn't really belong. So rather the correct gusa is shehen. They know to make holy the first day Pesach, because they're the ones who declare Rosh Chodesh, and Pesach is 2 weeks after that. Yotzes Shabbos Bereishis, which means, therefore, says Rabbi Eliezer, so the Torah is telling us it's not tied to Shabbos Bereishis, meaning the regular weekday Shabbos, which is called that because the original Shabbos was by Ma'aseh Bereishis. So it doesn't mean Shabbos Bereishis, as we use it to mean the Shabbos on which Parshas Bereishis is read. It means the Shabbos that the weekly Shabbos that goes back to Bereishis. Anyway. So Yotzei Shabbos Bereishis, as opposed to the weekly Shabbos, Shisirasa B'chol Adam. Everybody counts it because you don't need Beis Din. As we said before, Shabbos Mekadesh B'Kayma, Shabbos is automatically holy every seventh day. So therefore, says Rabbi Eliezer, so you have a proof from that the counting of the Omer is tied to Pesach, which is determined by Beis Din, to Spoloch, rather than it being tied to Shabbos, which doesn't require the counting of Beis Din. The function point out, the fact is, even the Baitusim say, obviously, it has to be some, it's not any Sunday during the year. It has to be, according to them, a Sunday after the first day of Pesach. So in that case, even according to them, it's kind of tied to Pesach as well. It's just not necessarily the day after Pesach. So the Chiddushim HaMiyuchosim LaRashva explains that it's not just that the Chachamim are Makadosh the Chodesh, it's also, sometimes you have a Chodesh Moleh, Chodesh Chosir, and of course that affects the day of Pesach. So when we say Tisboloch, that it depends on Beis Din, it means you first have to find out when did Beis Din establish, so you have to first establish when Pesach is. According to the Baitusim, that it means Mimachos HaShabbos. So look, so it wouldn't matter whether the previous month was 29 or 30 days, either way, either you won't have to find that detail out, because either way it won't make a difference to the date of the Omer. So Rabbi Eliezer's proof is that you have to find out even that detail, whether Beis Din made it a 29 or a 30 day adar, and that can only work according to the Chachamim. It wouldn't work according to the Baitusim. Rabbi Yeshua says, here's another proof. Omra Torah, Mnei Yomim B'Kadosh Chodesh. The Torah tells us, how does the Jewish calendar work? You have to count a certain, the Pasuk says that a month consists of days, of a certain number of days. Ad Chodesh Yomim, the Pasuk says. So that implies that a month contains a certain number of days. More to the point, it means that it has an integral number of days, even though a cycle of the moon is 29 and a half days and change. We don't have months being 29 and a half days. A month has to be a whole number of days, either 29 or 30. So the Torah says, Menei Yomim Makadosh Chodesh. The Torah tells us, count a certain number of days, and then declare Rosh Chodesh when the next time the moon is visible. And the Torah also similarly tells us, Menei Yomim Makadosh Atzeres. Similarly, the Torah is telling us, you have to count a certain number of days before you make Shavuos. So therefore we can learn, says Rabbi Yeshua, Ma Chodesh Samach L'Yosei Nikar. Now, shortly, as soon as possible, after the Molad, you can tell, or as soon as the moon is visible, as soon as it comes, it's visible again, then you can see it, and you know that a new month is beginning. The same way, when it comes the date for Shavuos, it has to be that right away, as soon as the number of days is over, you're always going to know immediately that it's Shavuos. The Imtoimah said us La'olam Achar Shabbos. If you're going to claim like the Baitusim, that's always the day after Shabbos, that it's always Sunday, Hey Ateni Keres Mishal Fanel, then how would you know? How would you distinguish it from the days before it? Because it's always whatever day you still, you know, you'd have to figure out. Sometimes it's going to start from the 16th of Nisan, but it could start from the 17th or 18th or various other days in Nisan, and therefore it wouldn't be clear. And wouldn't be so clear when you finish the count of days, what day Shavuos is supposed to be. So therefore, that also demonstrates that it has to be that you know there's a certain defined date on which you begin the 50 days, and therefore there'll be based on that you'll know immediately what day Shavuos is supposed to be. Tosfos brings a different explanation from Avodah Tam. That it means when, as soon as the moon becomes invisible, you immediately know that now the Molad is going to be today, and the next day is going to be Rosh Chodesh. The same way it has to be that if we started counting the Omer on the 16th of Nisan, people are going to be looking at a certain phase of the moon. When they know the phase of the moon is such that it's 5 days into Sivan, then they know that tomorrow is going to be Shavuos. As opposed to, in other words, according to the Baitusim, it wouldn't be, because depending what they start doing a Sunday in Pesach, according to them, so therefore Shavuos could be several days later, so you wouldn't necessarily know when you see the phase of the moon being a 5 day old moon, you know the next day is Shavuos, not necessarily according to the Baitusim, it could be only when it's a 6 day moon or a 7 day moon or a 10 day moon or whatever, and you wouldn't be able to tell. Then Tosfos brings from Rabbeinu Meshulam that has another gusa. The word is not, Rabbi Yeshua is not learning from the fact that you count months that you count days towards a month, but rather from the fact that you count a certain number of years towards a yovel. And there's a similarity. You count 49 years and then a 50th year, which is yovel. So the idea would be, in other words, that you can always tell you always know after the 50th year, after the yovel, you immediately begin counting the next yovel. There's even an opinion that you begin the yovel year itself at the beginning of the next cycle. But whatever, the point is there's no break between them. So the same way there can't be a break between the beginning of Pesach and the beginning of the 50 days that lead up to Shavuos. So it would always have to be that way. Then Tosfos says yet another explanation. It means that, again, when you know that the 30th day from the previous Rosh Chodesh is going to be Rosh Chodesh one way or the other, and we're going to be Mekadosh the Chodesh. The same way, you always have to have the same calculation to be able to know when Shavuos is going to be. You always have to be after 50 days, whereas according to the Tzukim, you may have more than 50 days between Pesach and Shavuos. Okay, so that's Rabbi Yeshua's proof. Rabbi Shmuel, I mean, Rabbi Shmuel says, I have yet another proof. The Torah is telling you have an Omer that you bring on Pesach and you have a Shtei Lechem that you bring on Shavuos. So therefore, there's a similarity between them. Now, what do you do when it comes to the Shtei Lechem? You're bringing the korban on the Yom Tov itself, and that is the fruit, and that is the beginning of the Yom Tov, because it's only one day. Shavuos in Midar Eisan and Eretz Yisrael is only one day. So that's the beginning of the Yom Tov. Afkan regel tchilas regel, the same way with the Omer, it has to be not only on a Yom Tov, but it has to be at the beginning of the Yom Tov. So then a point to the Chachamim, that's correct, because it's always on the 16th of Nisan, which is very close to the beginning of the regel. As opposed to, according to the Beit Tosin, sometimes it could be, Rashi points out, Pesach could begin on a Monday, and then in that case, then according to the Beit Tosin, the Omer would only be brought on the seventh day of Pesach. So then it would be nowhere near, it wouldn't be the beginning of the Yom Tov, on the contrary, it would be the last day of the Yom Tov. So that's another proof that it can't be like the Beit Tosin. In fact, Tosfos says even more so. It could even be if Pesach comes out on Sunday. They agree that you don't bring the Omer on the first day Pesach itself. So then according to them, you would have to bring it on the 22nd of Nisan, which is already after the Yom Tov even, because it's even after the Yom Tov, because in Eretz Yisrael, the Yom Tov ends on the 21st of Nisan. So that's another way of understanding that it means that the Omer cannot possibly be on the Sunday after Pesach, because that wouldn't work. Then the Gemara brings Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, Omer Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira says a variation on that. Nema Shabbos l'mayla v'nema Shabbos l'mata. You have twice where the Pasuk says, Mimachros HaShabbos. First it says by the Omer Mimachros HaShabbos, then it says by the Shtei Lechem, it also says that. So therefore, we can learn malahalam regel or tchilas regel samuch law. So what it means is just like when it comes to the shtei lechem, it means that the regel comes right after the seventh Shabbos. Namely, in other words, not Shabbos as in the weekly Shabbos, but in other words, the weeks, as soon as the 49th day of Sfira is over, immediately next, after that, comes Shavuos, Afkan, regel, Tchilas regel, Samuch la, the same way the Omer has to be right after the beginning of the regel, because again, Shabbos is a name for Yom Tov as well. By Yom Rishon Shabbosim, for example, the Pasuk says, so it means that the Korban HaOmer has to be brought immediately after the beginning of the Yom Tov. Tosfos points out, actually, that the Shavuos is only one day, so what do you mean Tchilas HaRegel, but you have Shivas Meitah Shlomin, after Shavuos, you have six more days to bring the Korbanos, if an individual person's Olas Re'iyah, and Shalmei Chagigah, if he didn't bring them on Shavuos, then he has six more days to bring them, so in that sense, Shavuos can be considered the beginning, can be considered the beginning of something. So that's another explanation how we know, therefore, that the Omer and the Shtei Lechem on Shavuos are both brought on the day after the respective cycle that they complete, namely after the first day of Pesach and after the 49th day of Sfira, respectively. Okay. So the Gemara continues. Let's talk about this. We mentioned before, Sautim Lachem. So let's talk about that, and we'll talk about Siras Omer. Tana Rabbanan, Sautim Lachem. The pasuk says you should count for yourselves. That means Shetei Sira L'chol Achad V'Achad, means each person has to count Sira. It's not something for Basin. It's not something that Basin has to count. Tosfos points out when it comes to the Yovel, where it says the Safaut Lacha, so in fact it might mean that Beis Din has to every year count the year and make a bracha, just like we say Al Sviras Omer, they might have to make a bracha Al Sviras Yovel or something like that. There's another place where it also says the Safra Law, it says by a Zavah that has to count 7 days, but there it doesn't mean that you make a there. Tosfos points out you don't make a bracha by it, because what happens any time during the 7 days, you could become Tomei again and the whole thing falls apart, so therefore don't make a bracha on it. So in other words, you have three times when the Torah tells you to count days. One of them you definitely make a bracha, Sfiras Omer. One of them Tosfos says maybe you make a bracha based on counting the years, and the third one, there's no bracha. The Zohar actually draws a connection between them, the counting of the Zava and the counting towards Sfiras Omer, with the idea being we were in the 49 gates of Tumah in Mitzrayim, and Hashem schlepped us out of there, and we're preparing ourselves to receive the Torah. So it's much like the counting of a Zava, getting ourselves out of Tumah and bringing ourselves into Kedusha. So it says, Sfarat Lachem Shetei Sira L'chol Achad V'Achad, each person has to count. There's a machlokas we've shown him. There's a machlokas aposkim, whether that means that every person actually has to say Sfiras Omer by themselves, or can a person be yotze by hearing from other people. So there's different poskim about it. So therefore, the various poskim, including the Alter Rebbe, explain that therefore better you should count yourself rather than just hearing from the chazan and answering amen. Okay. The pasuk says Mimachras Shabbos, continues the Brayso. So the pasuk says Mimachras Shabbos, the day after Shabbos. So again, it means Mimachras Yom Tov. It means the day after Yom Tov. Ori Eina Ela Mimachras Shabbos Bereishis. Maybe not. Maybe we should understand that it means the weekly Shabbos, and then that would mean that the Baitusim are correct. No. So we have several explanations so far proven by Tosim are incorrect. I mean, Mimachras Shabbos means the day after Yom Tov. So now the Brayso brings another one. The pasuk says you should count 50 days, meaning kol sfira shatas sofer lo yu el chamishim yom. It means that all the countings that you do should be only 50 days exactly. Now, the atonement machas Shabbos Bereishis, if you're going to say it's the day after Shabbos, which is doing Pesach, then palmim shakam motzer chamishim ve'echad yom. Sometimes you might have. It's 51 days, because, for example, Pesach might come, the first day Pesach might come out on Friday, and then you're starting to count from then, because the actual Omer is brought only on Sunday, and then you're going to have that the total count is going to be 51 days. So you could have 51 days. Or Pam Shatamotze Chamishim Ushnayim. It could be 52 if the first day Pesach was Thursday. Chamishim Ushlosha. It could be 53 if Pesach was on Wednesday. Chamishim Barbar. Or 54. Chamishim Chamisha. 55. Chamishim Shisha. Or even 56. If the first day Pesach comes out on Monday, then you're only going to start counting the days towards Shavuos from the following Sunday, and then it comes out that you've counted from Pesach until Shavuos, you've counted a total of 56 days. Now the Chiddushim Amichosim La Rashba says, so what? I mean, the Baitusim would answer back and say, fine, you only start Sfiras HaOmer on that Sunday itself. So he says that no, the point is, in other words, we're going to tell the Baitusim, why would the Torah tell, according to you, that it's always on Sunday, the day after Shabbos? Fine, why would the Torah be telling us to start from Sunday, Dafka? The reason is because the Torah wants that the Sfira should begin right after the Kedusha of Shabbos. Well then, really, the reason is that we really want that it should be close to the Kedusha of Pesach, and it should start from there, and it should always be a uniform 49 days after that. So that's another proof against the Baitusim. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseda Omer Einet Sorech. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseda says, you don't have to say that. Now, we already had an explanation from Yehuda ben Beseda before. So Tosfos brings that Avinu Gershom, in a Gemara that he personally wrote out, he said the word ben Beseda doesn't belong. He has just Rabbi Yehuda, which would be regular Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseda. But Tosfos points out, maybe you don't need that. There were, in fact, two different Rabbi Yehuda ben Besedas. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda plain, anyway, Omer Einet Sorech. He says, you don't need that. I can prove in a different way that it means the day after Pesach. As we said before, Harei Omer Tisperlach, the pasuk says you should count for you the days, implying Sfira Tzvoi Bebeistin, it's a counting that depends on Beistin. Yotze Shabbos Bereishis, just for us B'chadam, so like we said before, as opposed to the weekly Shabbos, where every person counts it on his own, and you don't need Beistin for that. So there's another proof that we begin specifically the day after Pesach, where the day of Pesach has to be established by Beistin. Okay.